Today on the Travel Guys.
In the news, you paid to check your luggage, it didn't arrive, and you want a refund?
Updates from Hawaii, and they got new culinary attractions and a chance to discover a Hawaii with Mark Hoffman.
At 2:15, Gail Lovario joins us to talk about airport security.
And a road trip on historic National Highway, here again with Mark.
In our entertainment segment, one more option, one more new theater option in the area, and we'll tell you all about it. All that and more today on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road. Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chips.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys and Entertainment here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano, along with Sports Leisure Vacations, Mark Hoffman. Mark, welcome to a fabulous sunny Sunday.
If you turn the microphone on there, I knew we weren't going to get through the first 15 minutes without a microphone being off. It is a beautiful Sunday. I have spent the whole week traveling across the country and can report to you that other than the occasional tornado, it's pretty nice all over the country. It's pretty amazing. You go into a town that's 300 years old and the whole main street is in blossom bloom. I don't know, cherry blossoms, almond blossoms, whatever they are. Absolutely spectacular.
And that's what's coming up a little bit later on. You're talking about your little
visit
along the National Road.
Yeah. I'm always doing historic highways. And people might say, well, gee, you know, are you ever going to run out of historic highways? And no, I found another one. And this one's pretty cool because it doesn't really have to do with cars.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine a national road that didn't have to do with cars. So that's pretty exciting. So anyway, we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
If it can be found and it can be a destination that's a lot of fun to go to, Mark has a unique ability to go and locate it for us. It's very cool. Well, okay, at the beginning of the Travel Guys show, as we always do, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the world of travel. So with the Mark Hoffman trio. Or is it a quartet? No, I can't remember.
It's just a trio. We're fairly modest in our budget.
All right. Here's Mark with the travel news.
We told you about this story last week, but it's getting more play this week, and why not? It makes just a lot of sense. The push is on to make airlines refund your bag fee when your bag doesn't arrive. The Transportation Department wants to make airlines pay passengers more when they're bumped off their flight, allow passengers to cancel reservations within 24 hours of booking with no penalty, and require better disclosure of fees and surcharges.
Yay!
They also want airlines to refund your baggage fees if your bag doesn't arrive on the plane with you.
Darn right.
Under existing rules, if luggage is never found or is damaged, passengers can ask for a fee refund as part of their lost property claim. But if a bag is simply delayed, then you're, as we call it, SOL.
Mm-hmm.
Most airlines won't provide a refund, even if it takes days to return a passenger suitcase. And the airlines say, get this, they're against the new rule because it would raise prices for everyone.
Well, yeah, of course, because it costs more money and more people to actually do the job they promised, and that's to show up with
the bag
at the right location.
Extricating $50 a person from people you think that you could just, you know, maybe give them good service, or when it wasn't there, you'd have somebody to deal with it. It's just amazing. The Air Transport Association of America, which represents most of the major airlines, told the DOT that whether to charge baggage fees and whether to refund them is a competitive point best left to the marketplace. Automatic refunds, the group says, will lead to increased costs and lead to higher prices for all passengers. What a pile of poop.
One fan's opinion.
American Society of Travel Agents told the Department of Transportation that because airlines regularly charge for checked baggage, it's only reasonable that passengers are offered a refund for delayed bags. Absent such a requirement, a spokesman said, there is little incentive to ensure timely delivery.
There you go. I stopped going to those restaurants where I ordered my food and they lost it somewhere between the kitchen and my table.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, if you went, they wouldn't ask you to pay for your groceries if your cart was empty. I mean, you know, it's just kind of, maybe it's obvious to me and not obvious to some.
Mark, you're just being unreasonable.
From Hawaii, visitors can now learn to prepare their own backyard luau in the comfort of their own home when they get home.
All
right. New daily cooking demonstrations at the Polynesian Cultural Center on Oahu. with 7 South Pacific Island cultures represented at the Polynesian Cultural Center. Demo chefs will walk guests through an assortment of Polynesian fare, including lau lau, which is a traditional Hawaiian dish using pork or fish wrapped in taro leaves, taro, or the preparation of taro, and sweet potato chips using modern preparation and cooking techniques suitable for all skill levels. Demonstrations will be held twice daily and at the Pacific Marketplace, Polynesia.com, where you can find that information. And we have some. We're going to talk a little bit about Hawaii.
And I didn't have much of a lunch, and this is just all making me hungry. We'll be covering Mark and Sports Leisure Vacations' next adventure to the islands, and there's lots of new stuff. Be listening for that.
A brief business travel update: Las Vegas, New York, Orlando, San Francisco, and Los Angeles were the most popular cities for American and international business travelers to visit in 2010. Vegas, New York, Orlando, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. The average price paid for per room by U.S. travelers: $114 domestically and $160. Internationally. Last week we talked about destinations for families to go to 15 places to take your kids before they turned 15.
Right.
This week we have the top 10 destinations for family fun according to TripAdvisor, which, by the way, became its own company last week, is not related to Expedia anymore. Let's see, what do we have quickly here? Anaheim, Wisconsin Dells, Wildwood Crest, New Jersey.
What's there?
It just says the beach and boardwalk.
Okay.
I'm guessing because there's so many people that live so close in that tri-state area there.
Jersey Shores.
Orlando, Florida. Sandusky, Ohio. Cedar Point Amusement Park and Resort there.
If you like big coasters.
Myrtle Beach. The Carolina Opry and the live theater performances. I don't see Branson on here, which is kind of interesting. Hershey, Pennsylvania.
The home of Hershey's Chocolate.
Hershey's Chocolate. And Ocean City, Maryland. That's up on the coast. That's a beautiful little town there, you know, just kind of outside of Atlantic City. Carlsbad, California, not a bad spot between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And Panama City, Florida, one of the places that dodged the bullet during the oil spill last year.
Now it makes sense. I finally figured out why all those kids that play for the Kings want to go to Anaheim.
Yeah.
It's because look at there. It's right there on the number one
Anaheim's
on the list.
Anaheim's on top of the
– They want to go to Disneyland.
Yes. Well, isn't it nice being a Kings fan? The NBA playoffs are on, and you don't have to worry about what to do with your time because you don't have to worry about arranging your –
Let me just say, go San Antonio. I have a connection there.
Yes. Here's an interesting item. An American Airlines flight attendant landed a plane, or at least helped land a plane, when a co-pilot became ill on a flight from San Francisco to Chicago. A flight attendant helped land the plane at O'Hare International Airport. Fortunately, the attendant had a pilot's license. Apparently, when the co-pilot became ill, the flight's pilot checked if any off-duty airline pilots were on board. A flight attendant told the captain she was a commercial pilot, and he asked her to fill in as first officer. The plane landed safely. Officials say the first officer's condition was not serious. He was treated at a local hospital and released. Double duty, the ultimate in double duty. And finally, Google is set to enter the airline flight search business. After 9 months of waiting, the Department of Justice finally approved Google's acquisition of a Cambridge, Massachusetts-based software company. It provides fare search technology for numerous major mega search airline websites. Google will presumably use the technology to integrate airfares into its search results. The travel industry is about – that sounds like a small story, but it will have a huge impact, I bet you, on the travel industry. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are joined on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
By our big sister.
I just dozed off.
Dozed off.
Yeah, good thing there's two of us in the tower here.
It's a good thing. Gail Navario, who has two brothers, Tom and Mark, and she's about to join her brothers, Tom and Mark, right here on the air. We're going to talk a little airport security when we come back. This is the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530.
Everybody sing along. Riding on the City of New Orleans.
Riding on the City of New Orleans.
Welcome back. We are the Travel Guys, Tom Romano, along with Sports Leisure Vacations, Mark Hoffman. Mark, we're very, very fortunate once again to have our sister, because she has a brother's name, Tom and Mark. So,
absolutely.
Gail Navario.
Hi, Gail. Hello. How you doing?
Hello, I'm fine. Thank you for having me again. It's a pleasure to be back with my family, my brothers.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I've been wanting to ask you since the first time we talked, and you told us that you had a brother named Tom and a brother named Mark. Are you the youngest or the oldest?
I am the youngest, and they're spread across the country. But, yes, I'm the baby sister, and I learned everything I need to know about getting noogies and getting beat up.
About putting the toilet seat up. And, boy, I'll bet you there were some great conversations in that house.
Well, if you ever come to visit us at the radio station, I promise I won't give you a noogie.
Okay. Well, you know, I would like to come see you guys. I'm just ready for one of those Polynesian luau's.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like fun? Go to the Polynesian Cultural Center, and they'll teach you how to do a luau at home. Of course, it's about $90 to get in there, but nonetheless, at least that's something you can bring back with you.
First of all, me
in the kitchen is worse than a pat down. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Now wait a minute. We were going to avoid that pat down issue.
We can't avoid it. You guys just played the New Orleans song.
Uh-oh. That was totally unintentional. Let me people know so we can have a formal introduction as to who they're listening to. Gail Lavario is the Federal Security Director for the TSA for the Northern California airports, which of course includes the Sacramento International Airport. So Gail, you've been in this position for a few years and you know your way around.
Actually, believe it or not, I've only been in this particular position since October.
Do you guys ever have, like, a dull week at TSA?
No, we do not. Never a dull moment at TSA because everybody's different, right? We have a lot of moving parts going on, and the passengers just kind of add to the mix.
You know, one of the things that kind of strikes me, Gail, as various stories about TSA and stuff evolve, you know, I fly here from Sacramento. I've said numerous times in the air that I don't really have I've never had any issues with TSA in Sacramento, nor have I seen any. Who makes up TSA in Sacramento? Are most of these folks who work for TSA, are they mostly local people? Do you have a lot of turnover? Do people stay? It seems like you told us when you were on before that most of the Sacramento folks have been on the job for quite some time.
We have a large part of our workforce, especially here in Sacramento, and I would bet that, prior to this, I was in, before Washington, D.C., I was in Phoenix and Portland, Oregon. And even there, a lot of our workforce, they're from the local area, and they've been with TSA since the very beginning. And a lot of them were motivated to join the agency right after 9/11. So we have a lot of very staid professionals that have been with us from the beginning. And so that makes for a really, really good motivated workforce.
It kind of makes you wish that you could be a fly on the wall sometimes and be in the back room at TSA. I mean, some of these folks must feel like they're under a little bit of scrutiny. I mean, everything that they do is being watched. I was telling Tom before the show started, you know, I mean, every time something happens in an airport security area, heck, there's 50 people standing there at any point in time if somebody yelled or created attention or something like that. How does it impact the hiring process, the job itself? I mean, I'm just curious.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've been focusing on of late and have been for ever since the agency started, but particularly now, especially as we're trying to evolve additional ways to focus on the threat and our resources and doing things the right way, has been to hire the right people. And who are the right people? They're people with a lot of integrity. Obviously, they have to go through background checks and various and sundry vetting processes. But really, the people who are motivated are those people that maybe not necessarily have that very, outward personality, but the people who are just consistent and professional always, even in the face of weird things happening, like passengers who get upset or something strange happening with, like, just Friday night, we had a pretty severe electrical outage that I'm sure you all heard about. And so there's a lot of different things that can happen, and it's the people that can really just ride the wave and keep calm and make sure that we're processing passengers in the right way. Those are the people that we want to hire. How do we do that? There's a lot of different ways.
Gail, we asked listeners to send in questions for you today, and one of the questions that we got involved, the person says, in the past, airport screening personnel were contracted. When they say in the past, they're talking about pre-9/11, were contracted to outside security companies, affectionately known as rent-a-cops, and didn't have the greatest reputation. Some could barely speak English, et cetera. I personally was relieved when TSA took over airport security and had this very lengthy and extensive hiring process. I know because my husband applied for one of the positions. Then I heard that they, TSA, use contracted security companies. And am I correct here by saying that there are selected airports around the country that are allowed to use security companies that are not TSA, and how does that work?
Well, that's right. There are, if I'm not mistaken, there are 12 airports right now. Some have just been approved by the administrator, and I believe the administrator is not going to approve any more at this time, but there are private entities that provide the security at those airports, although the management of that security company or overseeing the security companies in that airport on behalf of TSA are indeed TSA executives. So San Francisco is probably the closest airport that I can think of that has this particular setup.
I've been through Kansas City a lot of times recently, and indeed they are also one of the airports that has private security. I have never noticed any difference. Is there any significant difference or anything that people who are flying should know? I mean, basically that is supposed to be seamless, right?
That's right. They're trained the same way. They behave the same way. The management structure is the same way. Again, like I said, anywhere from the manager on up is TSA. So even though they're contracted security companies, the consistency is there. So you should, any traveling passenger should see the exact same thing, the exact same protocol. Everything that they see with the TSA workforce is the same.
Gail, you alluded at the beginning of the program when we first had you on about the pat down that made the news earlier this week. Is there an official statement or anything that you can share with us in regards to what the TSA's position on that was?
Sure. Well, and I'm sure you've heard this too, but Mr. Pistol, as the administrator of the agency, acknowledges that this particular officer down in New Orleans did a great job of following the proper protocol for, or the established protocol for conducting a pat down, and treated, it was obvious that they treated the young passenger with quite a bit of respect and involving the parents in that pat down. But he has indicated that he's exploring additional ways to focus our resources and kind of move beyond a one size fits all system while still maintaining a high level of security. So we've been actively reviewing our processes and procedures to try to streamline that, but also to improve the screening experience of everybody who comes through the checkpoints.
Gail, I have another question here that was sent in on our website, and this is from an elderly traveler who says she has an artificial hip transplant. It's titanium. It sets the security off every time, and she's asking, what is the best way when she approaches security? Should she be telling them about her situation or wait until after the situation makes itself apparent?
Well, more information is always helpful. So if she hasn't a chance to talk with the TSO that is manning the metal detector, I think it's important for, if she's comfortable, to let them know, hey, I have a metal hip, there's it's going to ring, I'm prepared for this. One of the things that we talked about last time was the implementation of advanced imaging technology. We don't have that here at Sacramento right now, but we will, and that will make her life and her movement through the checkpoints as she's traveling a lot easier in the future, so that she won't have to go through a metal detector. Rather, she'll go through this imaging so that they will know what that metal looks like.
So she should be suggesting to the person on the other side of the screener, of the metal detector, before she walks through it, that she has something in her body that is likely to set it off.
If she's comfortable with that, then sure. But regardless, whether she tells them or not, we are going to follow the same protocol to make sure that we resolve any kind of alarm that comes through the metal detector.
Gail, how's your schedule? Is there any chance you could stay with us for a few minutes after the news?
Sure. I sure can.
Okay, if you can stay with us, that would be awesome. Our guest is Gail Lavario. Gail is the – let me see if I get this right. She is the Federal Security Director of Airports for Northern California?
Is that right?
How about that? Unbelievable. Anyways, Gail is in charge of security not only here in Sacramento, but also up in Crescent City, Redding, and Eureka Arcata?
And Chico.
And Chico. By golly, I can almost do your job. Not hardly.
Yeah,
listen, your two older brothers are here, Gail, and we'll talk some more about airport security and all that it entails. We are the Travel Guys. This is News Talk 1530 KFBK. You're mostly losing your mind.
I know.
I think that would be my comment. If only you could be a fly on the wall during the news and commercial breaks. Aaron is so much more beautiful than Jim Naylor, who is now outside, I suppose, to... He's going to be Jerry's news guy, I guess.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm surprised he's here. You know, we've got him working full-time during the week. We're the Travel Guys. It's News Talk 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano with Sports Leisure Vacations, Mark Hoffman. Thank you so much for joining us, Mark. Let's get back to our guest, if you would please introduce Gail
Lavario, our little sister, we call her, since she has two older brothers, Tom and Mark. And someday we hope to meet her in person. Ever since our parents left home and changed the locks, we've never been able to find you ever since. Anyways, Gail, during the break we were talking about the difference between, you know, we've had winter travelers and everybody's got a big, well, not everybody in Sacramento, but a lot of people in other parts of the country have got big heavy coats, and depending on where you're going to and stuff like that. And pretty soon we're going to have summer travelers where people are going to spring break and stuff like that. Does that present any particular challenges for you, or is there anything that you would like to impart or share with people in terms of what they bring with or how that all works? Seasonal changes?
Well, you know, here's the difference between spring and summer and winter. In spring break and summer, we're really seeing a lot of families come through. And so while you may have less luggage because a bathing suit is smaller than a down jacket, I would think.
Oh, joy, children on the airplane.
You have a whole lot more people and you have kids. And so one of the recommendations that I was thinking about making today to your listeners is to really, if a family is traveling, to really sit down and educate your kids. You know, just like we had the pat down in the news in New Orleans, one of the best things that we can do for the kids is let them know what to expect, what a pat down is, what security is all about, why we have security, and just have a conversation about what TSA does before you go through the checkpoint. Additionally, you know, when the kids go through the checkpoints, we have lots of crafts. There are things that I'm a mom, so I have three young daughters. And when I bring them on a plane, I have electronics for them. I have things for them to draw with. I have scissors. I have a whole bunch of stuff. So
you have scissors?
Scissors, I do. I have plenty of scissors. No, I have all the stuff that's appropriate for kids.
I understand.
But it's good. It's good to let kids in on the whole process of security.
Yeah, that's an excellent thought that I had, something that I hadn't thought about. Here, let me pose another scenario here. You're going through security, and there's an issue. There's a problem. There's you feel something inappropriate has happened, or you've got a frustration, or here you are in the middle of all of this, and you're feeling embarrassed or overwhelmed or whatever. What should a person do at that point?
Well, let me tell you, one of the best things to remember, and that a lot of people don't know or they don't think about when they go through security and they have concerns or they merely have questions or, again, they have problems or if they feel that they've been treated wrongly or whatever, we always have a supervisory transportation security officer, a supervisory TSO on duty, and sometimes we even have two at the checkpoint. So it depends on the staffing for that day. So there's a level of management that's really very accessible.
So there's always somebody available, at least one person available, who can respond to the situation as it occurs, basically.
Absolutely, and that has decision-making authority and the ability to dial down any type of negative situation or any kind of fear or calm anything going on. What? Additionally, we also have transportation security managers that are one level above that are roaming around that are always available as well.
Gail, be real specific here. What kind of verbiage should you use, and exactly, you know, what person within the screening area should you direct your remarks to?
If anybody has a problem, my recommendation would be to ask for a supervisor or a manager.
Okay.
And just do that calmly, and there's no reason that the response shouldn't be fairly immediate.
That's exactly right, because the supervisor is almost always actually is always either behind the checkpoint or walking around the checkpoint. The other thing that a lot of passengers may see, but they just maybe don't know what their role is. Here in Sacramento, we work very closely with the Sheriff's Department. And we always have a law enforcement officer in the form of a deputy in and around the screening operation as they're occurring. So there's another resource, but I would always recommend asking for a supervisor or if something has escalated far enough to ask for a manager.
And I guess probably at this point we also should clarify, and maybe I should ask you, we've never – these stories seem to emulate from other places. I don't remember any of these stories ever coming from Sacramento. I'm not suggesting that everything is perfect every day in Sacramento, but it does perhaps suggest to me that the relationship between the TSA employees and staff and the people in Sacramento is a positive relationship. Would you say that?
Oh, for sure. We, you know, and we're working on it all the time. And really the fundamental part of that relationship is communication. But like we talked about last time I was on your show, the officers here are very professional. And just like we talked about with the pat downs, it's more about the process that we've had complaints rather than the individual performing that pat down. So I would say overall, they're very professional, very motivated, and they're ready to handle any questions that any of your listeners might have.
Gail, here again, a lot of scrutiny from your TSA agents and so forth is always underway, and I think everybody is in agreement that you're there to do a job and to keep us safe. From your standpoint and from theirs, what is the most frustrating part of doing your job?
Wow. Well, there's two. I think internally the most frustrating part is trying to make sure that we're hitting all of the procedures that we need to adhere to. Mm-hmm. Not to say that we don't or that we go away from the procedures or establish protocols. It's just that there's so many and it's very hard because situations are different every time a passenger comes through. So there's that. And then, again, like we discussed last time, too, it's the relationship with the passengers. And so I would invite everybody here in Sacramento to get to know our workforce here locally so that they feel a lot more comfortable going through and those challenges really are mitigated and we can deal with the focusing on the big threat items that we have.
That's a good point. So, you know, to approach an agent and introduce yourself and have a little get to know you is not an issue?
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, okay. You know, we're trying to process passengers so that there's no wait times and everybody gets through their flight in a timely manner. But these guys are part of the community, too. They have families. They travel themselves. And I can guarantee you that human element really goes a long way.
A smile and a good afternoon goes and when you're presenting your ID always goes a long way, I find.
It sure does. Even when things are hard and something might not go exactly as you plan or you're frustrated because you're late, again, those resources in the form of a supervisor or manager are always there to help.
Yeah, as somebody who used to umpire in adult sports leagues, I learned that sometimes people tend to take their frustrations out on the person who just happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So perhaps when you're at the airport, keep in mind that the fact that you didn't allow yourself the extra 20 minutes is not the rest of ours' fault. Anyways, Gail, thank you so much for coming on with us and talking with us today. We should tell our listeners that it originally had been our intention to take phone calls and have a little bit more of an interactive session here and have you in the studio. But because of some of the things that have happened over the last week, we just felt that this was a little bit better format. And we look forward to the next time to you coming in and being with us. And we are just going to unleash the guns from both directions.
Gail, I think we may have asked you the last time, but you did have an answer for us. Where is the best way if people want to continue discussion with you or somebody from the TSA online or whatever, what's their best source besides being at the airport that they can make contact with you if they have questions?
Well, there's always www.tsa.gov, and that has a lot of interactive components. There's a blog on there with the latest issues and latest discussion on just the kookiest types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then a way to ask questions through that website. We also have the TSA app. I don't know if you've noticed that, but
any phone
with a web browser, if you have a question about prohibited items or wait times at a particular airport, mm-hmm. we just won the award for the best mobile app out there. And so that's another venue. But then we also have our local phone number here that I gave you last time. Of course, I got beat up for farming out our number, but I don't ever mind having questions via a phone call. And that number is 916-830-8000. 9101.
Fabulous.
9100.
Thank you, Gail. Be well. Your two brothers, your two big brothers will be thinking about you.
No noogies.
Okay.
You got it. Gail Lavario from TSA with us on the Travel Guys this afternoon. We will look forward to the next time Gail is with us. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Hawaii. We're kind of hoping for an in-studio guest here. But we've got lots more for you. With
National Road coming up.
National Road with Mark and Tom on the Travel Guys.
Well, if you ever plan to motor west, take the highway that's the byways, that's the best.
It's Bobby Troup's song. Yeah. Do you know he wrote that on an envelope? He was with his wife in a car, and she kind of came up with the lyrics. She came up with the Get Your Kicks on Route 66. Shows behind every good man is a good woman.
You got that right.
Bobby Troup wrote, they were driving cross country, and he wrote that song.
It's one of my favorites, and it really says it all. I know Sports Leisure Vacations, 15 years of trips down Route 66?
Yeah, and you know, the great thing about those kinds of trips is that you get to see and hear and talk to people who are not, that you don't normally see and do and hear. Remember last week we had Becky from American Road Magazine on as a guest, and she, at the end she said, just remember, friends don't let friends drive the interstate. And I spent... With Chris Galloway, I spent four days this week driving, putting together a new package for that we're going to offer next year on the National Road. Now, some people don't know. By the way, Buster Posey just hit a three-run homer for the Giants, and they're tied with Arizona.
Whoa.
Mark's
not too much of a Giants fan,
it is, after
folks.
All, sports leisure vacations. We're out on the National Road, which a lot of folks don't know. This was Thomas Jefferson. Authorized this road in 1806 from Cumberland, Maryland to Vandalia, Illinois. It was to open up the West.
Okay.
For people.
The Lincoln Highway, we talked about that a year or so ago, that that road was created to give people some
automobiles.
Yeah, some place to go with all those automobiles.
The gentleman who invented who spearheaded the Lincoln Highway, with Carl Fisher, who from the Indianapolis 500. He also had a company made spark plugs, and the guy that made Goodyear tires. And, you know, all these guys got together and said, hey, if there's no plate roads for people to drive on, we'll never sell anything.
Right.
Well, this was 100 years before that when people said, if there is no way to get goods to market, then we'll never have an economy. And if there's no way for people to see the rest of the country, we'll never be able to grow. And so this road was put together. Much of it follows the route of Highway 40 back in the eastern part of the country. And there is just some amazingly wonderful stories. And unlike Route 66 or the Lincoln Highway, which are roads that were created for automobiles, this is not a road that was created for automobiles.
Really?
So it's been there for much longer, and it's all about history. It's about the history of this country. And the people who are – a lot of people are still there living in 200- and 300- and 400-year buildings. And Lord only knows the stories that we saw – we found a few of them. But what it proves to me is that – you know, there's so much to see in this country, and I know gas is $4 a gallon as opposed to, you know, $2.50 a gallon or whatever. So, you know, get on an organized tour or drive a shorter distance or stay longer or, you know, if you've got to mitigate that gas situation. But there's a lot of cool things to see right here in this country. If you just – I can't tell you how many times this past week – that Chris and I were driving down the road, and you could see the freeway over in the distance, and you'd go around a hill, and then you couldn't see the freeway, and it was a whole other world. Here's this little town with these people that, you know, they don't really care about the interstate, and their life and their everything is just as it's been for a long time.
So here again, Sports Leisure Vacation is going to get off the beaten path and down the National Road. A couple of sites. I mean, are we going to get the big giant ball of twine? What do we got?
Oh, there's a giant ketchup bottle in Collinsville, Illinois. There are numerous Madonnas of the highway to bless the traveler as they're headed along the road. So there's all kinds of – and you haven't lived until you found original pavement, and we're not talking about asphalt here or cement. You know, we're talking about original pavement of the National Road where it was logs, literally.
Now, you're taking a busload of people.
Well, yes. I mean, we're not – obviously, this is
– on this road that's made of logs?
Well, Thomas, it's part of the road. The road obviously has been redone now, and so some of the old road is there and some of the bridges. And more importantly, the stories – and the people and the history and the legends. And those are the things really that you travel for.
There
I
you
mean,
go.
And, no matter what country that you're in.
And folks, look, Sports Leisure Vacations has been taking people safely on these crazy trips for years. So you can rest assured it'll be a fun and safe trip. Sometimes when I hear Mark, you know, tell these stories, I just imagine, you know, 30 people on a bus in the middle of nowhere alongside a old dusty road. And
but, you know, sometimes those are the most incredible moments because you get to someplace
pit stop.
And you see something that everybody – we were in a little town and found a building that they had saved and turned into a visitor center. It was beautiful on the inside. It was obvious that hundreds and thousands of hours of volunteer labor had gone into this building. And you go to the next town, and they have a similar building, and it hasn't been saved. And they're waiting for an angel to fall from the sky or somebody with money or something to happen. And it's also very interesting as you go across the country. And I don't want to get too political here. But, you know, some cities have figured out how to live with big box stores. And some cities have been destroyed by big box stores, small towns and communities. And some have figured out how to overcome it. And it's someday maybe we'll have to do a program on how folks have mastered that, because some folks have saved. Cambridge, Ohio has saved its old town, downtown. Everything is fine. Zanesville next door is the same. But then you go to Wheeling, West Virginia, things aren't so healthy. It's just a few miles up the road. Why is that? That one town is doing well and one is not. Is it the attitude of the people? Is it the local economy? And those are the stories that you get to hear when you get out and really see the country. And that's why I get on a soapbox once in a while, like I am now. But one of the things that I most enjoy about the business that I'm in is I get to go and do like I did last week, spend 4 days, 900 miles, traveling from Baltimore to St. Louis on all roads I'd never been on, to places I'd never been to, meeting people I'd never met before that I didn't know I was going to meet.
Very cool.
And if that is not a great way to spend life, then and thank all of you Sports Leisure Travelers who are part of that. Listen, speaking of Sports Leisure Travelers, we have housekeeping here. If you are Travel Club members Valerie Cummings or George Cunningham, if you will call the Sports Leisure office at 916-361-TOUR or 361-8687 Monday or Tuesday, you have won $100 in tour certificates just for listening to the radio. Or if you know Valerie or George, why call them and tell them they've won $100 in tour cash.
Very cool.
Next week.
Yes. Next week, it's our special Easter show.
It is. We are going to have Wayne Setness talking with us about traveling to the Holy Land.
Very cool.
So if we haven't got Ed Perkins will join us to talk about consumer issues when traveling. The summer's coming up. People are buying airline tickets. Issues to be addressed. We'll be here to address them for you.
Hey, and don't forget, check me out, Classic 93.1. 3 to 7 every weekday, playing the classic.
That's on that FM side. That's that newfangled radio station. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, folks. And Mark, thank you for a great show. We'll see you next week, 2 to 3, right here on the Travel Guys.
Remember, we are the Travel Guys. One show a week is all we ask. On the road again. Just can't wait.